I'm a reporter at Dateline. I've been with Dateline for about 15 years now. I was the supervising producer of the show for many years, and then I've been on the road since about 2008, producing stories for the program from all around the world. And a few years ago now, it's probably a couple of years ago, I read an article, I think, in The Age, about forest kindergartens. It was focusing on the fact that there's what they call a bush kinder at Westgarth in Melbourne, which has one day a week spent in the bush. And they were explaining that this had been inspired by the forest kindergartens in Europe. And I looked into it a little more, and the idea fascinated me, the idea of children and going out in all weathers, including the freezing snow in Northern Europe, and spending their days playing outside. I just thought it might make a quite enchanting little story. So I'd sort of had it in mind for some time and recently had a chance to look into it a bit more. And what I did was I called the kindergarten in Melbourne. They explained that there was a woman called Sue Elliott. I think she's at the University of New England, and she's sort of the guru for outdoor education in Australia. And when I asked her what she knew about the kindergartens in Europe, she put me on to Jane William Siegfriedson, the English woman that's in my story, who's based in Denmark and runs training courses for childcare workers around the world, teaching them about what they do in Denmark. So that was one of the main reasons why I focused on Denmark as opposed to Germany or Switzerland or Sweden or many other countries where they have similar kindergartens. And so I thought that what they do in Denmark would strike a chord here in Australia.
And do you think it does? I mean, can Australia learn something from this, you think?
I think so. But what's interesting is that Jane believes that you can't just transplant another model, like the Danish model, into another country, because what you have in Denmark is part and parcel of Danish culture, and it works in that context. It's not just about forest kindergartens. I mean, one of the parents I spoke to, who was from England, explained that they don't even have barriers sometimes on you know, railway level crossings in Denmark. Coming from England, that was something that shocked him. It's like, oh my God, there's trains that go past. Couldn't you get hurt? So I get the feeling that it's something that runs much, much deeper in the culture up there. What Jane talks about is trying to inspire teachers, I guess, to take baby steps, to just take their kids out into nature, to not see the fact that it's raining as a barrier, like take your kids out in the rain and see what happens. So it's a gradual process, I guess, but the beauty of seeing a story like this is that you can sort of see something so different to what happens here in Australia that it does challenge you to think about, well, you know, can we do things differently? And is the sky going to fall in? Are our kids suddenly going to get injured just because we let them climb trees? Well, in fact, no.
And Australia certainly has, as people have been commenting, and I tell you, we posted this on Facebook on Tuesday because it was in Dateline. And 2,500 people have seen that post now and lots of comments. And one of them mentioned that there's so much nature here in this country. And it would make a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And there's different challenges in different environments. I think what fascinates us is the idea of kids going out in the rain and the cold and the snow, whereas here, of course, the challenge in some parts of the country would be going out in the sun. You know, there's an issue in some parts of Denmark and Switzerland and Germany with going into the forest with ticks, which carry Lyme disease. In Australia, of course, you've got spiders and snakes and other things to think about. But all of those risks can be weighed up and assessed. I guess I find it interesting too that your audience, the Danish community here in Australia, must have had a very similar experience, I guess, of coming to Australia and realizing how different things were, that perhaps things that they could do with their kids in Denmark weren't being done in Australia. So I guess it must strike a different chord with them. I saw an interesting article in The Guardian when I was trying to find out more about this concept of pedagogy that you have in Denmark, and it was talking about institutions that care for children and comparing England to Denmark and talking about the fact that everything is so much more institutional in England and so much more bureaucratic because it's totally based only on safety and on that aspect of the duty of care. Whereas in Denmark, the nature of pedagogy means that it's about having a human connection with people and not being so fussed about, you know, whether there's a locked door or, you know, fire alarms. Or I mean, I'm sure you have all those things as well, but the focus, the emphasis is somewhere different.
Now, the big question is, what does this do to our children? The difference between being very protected and the difference of being out there playing with knives and climbing high trees. What does it do to them when they get older?
The research that's taken place in Denmark in terms of the difference between the kids that go to the forest kindergartens and other kindergartens shows that, you know, by the time they get to school, often they have much better fine and gross motor skills. They, in fact, can concentrate better. They also, this is something that I didn't include in the story, but apparently they play a lot more between age groups and between genders. So boys and girls are much more used to playing with each other and playing with younger or older children than they would be at a conventional kindergarten. I think it probably gives them a much better sense of, you know, their own independence. And this was something that I also heard, that in Scandinavia, children are expected to become independent and take care of themselves from a much younger age than children here, who are often, you know, everything's done for them. People help them get dressed and have their bath and dry them and take them places.
Another thing that I've noticed that Danes seem to be good at teaching children is empathy, taking care of each other. Was this something that you noticed in the kindergarten in Denmark?
It's certainly something that Johan talked about at the kindergarten where he worked. He sort of believed that taking kids outside and presenting them with new challenges was about teaching them to look after their mates, to work together in a team, and, you know, part of that was empathising with one another. So it was certainly something that was very central to the way he worked with the kids outdoors. I think, I mean, there's another radio program that I heard a while ago from the United States, which interested me, which was just talking about the fact that parents, there had been some research done in one particular community where an anthropologist, I think, or an ethnographer had a generation ago studied the children of this community in terms of how much freedom they had and how far from home they roamed. And he went back recently to look at the next generation of kids and saw that the parents really wouldn't let them out of sight. They roamed much closer to home. And parents, the same parents that had that freedom a generation ago, told him that it was based on fear, you know, that they were afraid of what might happen to their kids. And essentially, there was no reason for them to be afraid. There was no increase in crime statistics from generation to generation. There was no greater likelihood of the kids being abducted. But fear of what might happen to our kids, which is partly generated by the media, causes us to give our children a lot less freedom. What I found interesting going to Denmark was that the childhood that these children were enjoying was very similar to the childhood I'd enjoyed in the 1970s. And perhaps our kids now are not getting that same freedom. So it was interesting for me to get a sense of how things have changed here.
Certainly there's one Dane who's concerned about this, and we learned that around New Year, because the Danish Queen mentioned this topic in her speech.
I didn't know that, really.
Her annual New Year speech. She actually talked about that we must give the kids some space, not protect them so jealously, and you know, allow them to make experiences for themselves. She spoke quite in depth about it.
Wow, that's lovely. I mean, one of the things that both Jane and Johan, the pedagogue that was in my story, explained to me is that this idea of letting the kids spend time outside is becoming more mainstream as well. It's moved beyond the kindergarten into the schools. And there's a lot of primary schools where children will now spend a day a week, for example, outdoors. And a lot of the things that are being taught at primary school can actually be taught outside. You don't need to be in the classroom to learn maths or literacy or science or many of the other subjects. So, you know, that's quite fascinating too.
It's about connecting to the world we live in a way.
Yes, and not relying, you know, too much on digital devices, which was another concern of parents there. And it's a concern that's shared here, that children from a younger and younger age are sort of spending time on phones and iPads and computers. And if they're not spending time outdoors outside of preschool or school, then it is a real problem. There was something interesting that I read about probably just a couple of weeks after I'd finished filming this story, and it was about a survey, I think, in Europe about trust and which countries, which cultures were the most trusting. And basically people were asked to say on a scale of 1 to 10 whether they felt that their fellow human beings basically could be trusted or not. And Denmark came across as the most trusting nation. And I just sort of saw a connection there that perhaps if we trust our children, and if we learn that they can be trusted and they learn that they can be trusted, then as adults, they're far more likely to trust one another as well. And I'm sure that that has all kinds of ramifications for things like, you know, corruption, for example. I mean, just the fact that you essentially believe other people can be trusted is going to make you a lot more transparent as a society and have fewer of the problems that might exist in other countries where that trust doesn't exist.
Now my eyes are wide open. These are big topics you're touching here.
It's interesting.
From kindergarten to corruption.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because trust was one of the common themes everyone was talking about. Well, it just comes down to trust. I mean, my eyes widened when I was told that they don't have regular government inspections of kindergartens. I don't know exactly what the regime is here in Australia, but I'm sure there is some sort of scrutiny, some sort of inspections that takes place, and people, that's all about trust too. Like you assume that you can't trust people to do it on their own. You have to check up on them, and that people will do the right thing because they know that they're going to be checked up on. Whereas in Denmark, it was a matter of, well, of course we do the right thing. It's our job. That's what we do. And perhaps if they're given that autonomy, they're more likely to do a good job than if they're just doing it because someone's going to check up on them.